You're listening to the best of ESPN New York Tonight.
Hey, Gordon Damer.
Larry Hardesty, how are we feeling tonight, my friend?
Great. How was your weekend?
It was a solid weekend. Solid nice. All the way around. Yeah, how nice. About you?
Great weekend. A little quick show yesterday for a couple of hours.
Mm-hmm.
Caught some of you on Saturday.
Okay, you're the one. All right, good to know.
No. You were talking to people, so I wasn't the one. You had folks. You had a couple of conversations that you, one of you, which you might want to walk back. But a couple of them were really good. Really
what,
good.
Walk back? What do you mean walk back? Walk back? Oh, you mean about Stanton?
Uh-huh.
No, I'll stick with him. I'm on board. Look, I think that he will have moments like he's had here the last couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we know where this is going. I think these moments, which in the past used to be a couple of weeks where he would get red hot and have drive-in runs left and right,
mm-hmm.
I think they're going to be fewer and far between. And I think he's on – clearly, I think he's on the downside of his career.
But I agree with that.
I'd love to be wrong.
I agree with him being on the downside of his career. But maybe because for me the bar was very low,
mm-hmm.
but seeing him rounding third coming home with brute – breath left in his body, I thought was impressive.
He made it around the bases with the
ease.
Yeah, before the pitch clock wound down,
ease,
right?
So
that's always a good sign.
Absolutely. We have a ton of things to do. Of course, we have, we're counting down on our region. We're counting down on the GOAT bracket.
Yeah, we got to get moving here. We're going to do all four regions tonight. So
perfect.
I think tonight we will be down to the final four. Tomorrow
yes.
we'll be down to the final two, and then we'll have the championship, and then we'll crown whoever is the GOAT.
The GOAT. All right, that sounds like a plan. Speaking of a plan, let's do top stories that we're working on here tonight on 98.7 ESPN. You heard it in the update. Nasty Nestor Cortez, Gordon Damer was nasty once again. And the Bats, they just continue to rake and hit home runs. I feel bad for the Marlins. After they win, a day after winning in St. Louis, they're back on the losing trail again. Marlins 1-10, Yankees 9-2, and they shut out the Marlins tonight 7-0 in the Bronx.
I think we need to contract the Marlins. It feels like they are just a lost organization. And Juan Soto is first Yankee Stadium home run,
mm-hmm.
but the story obviously was Nestor Cortez. If you're going to get anything like that kind of Nestor Cortez, you'll take. Now it's the Marlins. It's not a great team.
Right.
Got to see more moving forward, but. Yeah, that's what he had a lot of smiles when he came off the mound in his last inning, and rightfully so. I think the Yankees had a lot of smiles after what they saw tonight.
Absolutely. And you can use Nasty Nestor to get back. Obviously, maybe not shutout Nasty Nestor, but if he gives you quality innings and gives you quality starts and goes deep like he did tonight, Gordon, that's a godsend right now.
This is the big question about the Yankees this year is the starting pitching. Who can you rely on in that starting rotation? And he's one of those questions after the year that in the injuries he had last year. So if he can get back to pitching like he did a couple of years ago, where he was a real answer in the rotation, that is a big, big plus for the Yankees.
Speaking of the Yankees, Gerrit Cole took a step in his recovery from elbow inflammation today, playing catch from 60 feet at the stadium. He said he made 25 throws and hit his partner in the chest 22 times. So the reigning AL Cy Young Award winner threw roughly 71 miles an hour and plans on having two more throwing sessions this week. But he was not done, Gordon Damer. Oh, no. He is at odds, and he's not alone. There's a really discussion about the injuries that pitchers have suffered this year following the pitch clock. Mm-hmm. And Major League Baseball is saying, no, it's not related to the pitch clock. And, of course, pitchers and MLB Players Association don't agree. There's a shock. They don't agree.
Yeah, well, look, I don't think that either of them are being honest. I think that the Players Union never liked the pitch clock. So that's going to be the first thing that they're going to blame. The owners' side loves a pitch clock because it shortens up the game. So they're immediately going to say, oh, no, it's not the pitch clock. Maybe the pitch clock has something to do with it. I think the biggest thing is that everybody is trying to throw as hard as humanly possible
mm-hmm.
all the time. And remember when we were growing up, Larry, if somebody threw a – Nolan Ryan threw 100.
And that was it.
That was it. That was the one guy. If you saw a guy throw – this guy throws 95. Everybody throws 95 now.
That's right.
Now, maybe part of that is conditioning. There's better conditioning now. There's better nutrition now. But – it just seems like everybody's trying to throw as hard as they humanly can all the time, and it feels like that's probably, to me, that's the biggest factor. Could the pitch clock be an issue? Yes, but I think that the biggest issue is everybody trying to throw it out of their rear ends.
And I guess we can throw away the notion of babying pitchers with innings and stuff because the injuries are still coming. They're babying them, and they're still getting hurt.
And it feels like the more we baby them, the more they get hurt.
Yeah.
Like you think, oh, well, baby them more. No, they keep getting hurt more.
No, don't baby them anymore. Put them out there.
I mean, there is that group that feels like guys just don't simply throw enough.
Yeah.
And that was the old Leo Mazzoni thing, that the guys don't throw enough anymore, so that's why they're getting hurt. I don't think that there's one thing across the board. I think it's probably a combination of things. To me, I think we've really seen the explosion of injuries the higher the velocities have gone.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that's the biggest one, but I'm sure a lot of things play a role.
You know what, Gordon, as we sit and have this conversation, we're going to find out that it's probably more individually based, that you can't paint a broad brush.
Right, absolutely.
It's going to be, okay, this kid did something, and this kid's arm is different, and he throws this way, and he throws that way, and the torque he puts on his elbow, throwing his off-speed pitches and all that, it's going to be individually based. So that's ultimately how we're going to solve this thing. But the pitch clock might have something to do with it, but considering we were getting these injuries before the pitch clock, Gordon, we can't put on the pitch clock.
I think that there's more high-profile guys who are hurt now, right? Strider mm-hmm. getting hurt with the Braves and Cole getting hurt with the Yankees and all that type of stuff. But this is not unusual for there to be a slew of injuries early on in the season.
Not at all. Not at all. Gordon, I got to tell you, you talk about somebody, while I had a great weekend, in the back of your mind, when your team is going to Atlanta, and you know what the history has been with your team against Atlanta, period, but especially in Georgia. It was kind of a little antsy today, Gordon. They were a little antsy. And it didn't feel better when Teron gave up four runs in the third inning. But the Mets have fought back. Nimmo's 3-1 blast also. He gave up home runs in the third. Nimmo's blast in the fourth has tied the Mets at 4 apiece. So, you know, the Mets are batting in the sixth. And we'll see if we can steal one. But it's so early. It's so early, Gordon. I got no faith in the Mets in Atlanta. None.
Well, look, here's the thing. I like the fact that the Mets have won some games just so people can walk down off the ledge. Because when it was 0-5, I mean, you have the home broadcaster on the network of the team saying this feels like rock bottom. They're 5 games into the season.
Yes.
And it's rock bottom. I think Gary Cohen knows it can get a whole – saying rock bottom is it can't get any worse.
Right.
It can get a whole lot worse than 0-5. Well, thankfully, some guys are starting to hit. Still waiting for Francisco Lindor to get going here, but you see some signs from Nimmo. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, Lindor is not too far behind.
Hopefully. That would be nice. Sad news for Mets fans. The Mets lost one of the star catchers from the championship teams in Jerry Grody. And on the broadcast tonight, Gordon, there was a quote from Johnny Bench, the world-renowned great catcher for the Cincinnati Reds, 60s and 70s. And he said, if Jerry Grody was on the Cincinnati Reds, I'd be playing third base.
Wow. And high
Grody
praise.
Grody was an unbelievable defensive player, Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
Great call pitches extremely well. Tough guy from Texas. He was a tough guy. But, you know, those of us who remember the Mets 69 World Series, 73 lost to the Oakland A's in the World Series. Jerry Grody was a great Met. And, sad to see him go.
I mean, I remember my dad talking about Jerry Grody. He was like one of those guys who was like a real fan favorite. And even though maybe he wasn't hitting in the middle of the order, he was a guy who everybody that was a fan of that team had fond memories of.
No question about it. Prayers go out to he and his family. Gordon, the NBA fined the New York Knicks $25,000 for violating league injury reporting rules today. The fine concerns the Knicks' failure to, quote, accurately disclose, unquote, the status of Mitchell Robinson ahead of their meeting with the Toronto Raptors on March 27th. The Knicks listed Robinson as out on their initial injury report, and he went on to appear in the game that the Knicks won 145-101. Knicks in Toronto, Gordon, they're never going to get along. I'm just telling you.
Well, nowadays, especially with all the betting companies that are in partner with the leagues, we have to have accurate injury information, Larry.
Absolutely.
We cannot be pulling the wool over anybody's eyes. So
no.
I don't know. It feels like with all the different stuff with injuries in the NBA, guys sitting out when they don't need to sit out. We're nitpicking here on the Knicks.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the Knicks got 25 grand. I think they'll be all right.
I think they did. I think they got a couple of bucks lying around. Although yeah, not for long, considering everybody's contract is up at the end of the season.
Yeah, that's true.
You better pay them now. Gordon, we know South Carolina is the women's NCAA champion. Tonight, the men's champion will be crowned. Purdue battles the defending men's title holder, the UConn Huskies. That tip off shortly. And Gordon, listen, Purdue is a very good team. I find it hard to bet against UConn. I really do. They seem to be playing and rolling on all cylinders right now.
It almost feels like now the two games have reversed themselves. The women's game is the one with the stars and the storylines and all the attention. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the men's game is what the women's game used to be. Can anybody beat UConn? That used to be the only question about the women's tournament. Can anybody beat UConn? And that feels like that has been the story of this year's tournament, really since Selection Sunday, probably even before that. I only started paying attention Selection Sunday, so maybe that's my fault. But it feels like that has been the story the entire tournament. Tonight we get to one final chance. Yes. Purdue gets that final chance to see if they can finally cap it. With all the disappointments that they have had, this would be worth the wait if they're able to take down the defending champion UConn in the national title game.
No question about it. And then, of course, we'll get to see the one shining moment.
Our favorite. We love it. Love one shining moment.
We do. Finally, Gordon, John Calipari, 5-year deal, becoming the next men's basketball coach at Arkansas. His contract expected to have an overall base salary of slightly less than $8.5 million he's making at Kentucky. Deal expected to be incentive laden with the ability to pass that number. Gordon Damer, John Calipari on the move again. As a St. John's alum, are you a little concerned Rick Pitino may be heading back?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You have to be. These guys have absolutely no loyalty whatsoever. They could tell you in the morning, oh, no, I'm not going anywhere. And by the night, they will be off in the wind, Larry. So, yes, I don't care what anybody tells you until Kentucky has a new coach. And even after Kentucky has a new coach. Because, you know, Kentucky's coach is not coming out of the thin blue sky, thin air, right? Nope. He's coming from some school. So until all these jobs are filled and that. I don't care what anybody says. Until those jobs are filled, I don't trust anybody.
I tell you, this is the reason why, and I will admit they may have to make some tweaks to it, but Gordon, this is why I have no trouble with the transfer portal. Because coaches get up and go, kids would have to stay, or if they move, they would lose a year of eligibility. Yes, it needs to be tweaked a little bit because it's like free agency for college kids now, this transfer portal. So it may need to be tweaked a little bit, but I got no problem with them. Why should I stay when you promised me that you were going to be here? Why should I stay when you left?
Right. And sometimes promised me you were going to stay the same day you left.
I know.
Here today, gone tomorrow. Sometimes it's here today, gone today.
Yeah. Now, Gordon, remember, you're going to go through this. You're going to take your kid, you know, your son, your daughter's going to be playing a sport or something, and the coach is going to say to you, Gordon, I'm here for your son or daughter. Oh, I'm here. I'm not leaving.
Anybody.
I'm here. I'm not going anywhere.
You only find out when they're gone, right?
That's right.
It's like in her witness protection program. They're just out the door.
Yeah,
you can't trust any
crazy.
Of these guys. I mean, look. I mean, Pitino's the perfect example.
He is.
He gets hired by Iona. I'll never leave Iona. I'm good. They gave me a chance when no one else. Literally, they did give him a chance when no one else.
He wasn't lying. They did.
He wasn't lying. And then St. John's is on the line. Boom. Gone. It's amazing.
It is.
No shame.
It is. Oh, boy. Nice to know that they are committed.
Well, look, at least
and
we all.
Loyalty is good.
The only thing is you got to know the deal when you make the deal, right?
Absolutely.
As I always say, when you make a deal with the devil, you don't get to complain about the heat. So
That's
you
right.
know the deal walking in the door. You knew the deal when you signed Pitino.
Mm-hmm.
So if he does leave, which it seems like the reports are early that he won't, but who knows?
Depends how much Gordon.
Exactly.
Gordon, what's the line?
The greatest line. We didn't realize it at the time. The greatest line in the history of wrestling is everybody, Larry, has got a price.
That's it. And those are the top stories that we'll be chatting about tonight on ESPN New York Tonight. When we return, Gordon Damer, Doc Rivers, and the Milwaukee Bucks are in trouble. I'm just telling you, they are in trouble. We'll discuss a big win for the Knicks, and after the loss to Chicago, boy, did they need it. We'll do that next on 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to the best of ESPN New York tonight.
That's Doc Rivers, head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks, Gordon Damer, who are now just a game ahead of the Knicks and Magic and a half game ahead of the Cleveland Cavaliers for second place in the Eastern Conference. Gordon, they have lost 7 of 10 and 4 in a row. And listen, I was concerned about the Knicks rolling in there because, you know, because we thought that Giannis was going to be questionable for the game. Well, he wasn't questionable, Gordon. He started. And he was very physical and very prominent for the first half of that game. But what was really weird is when the Knicks made their run in the fourth quarter, he was secondary to Dame Lillard. And I didn't understand that. Gordon, I didn't. I thought that, you know, I get that he has said previously that, you know, it's Dame's team and, you know, late in the game. I get that. But when you're facing a team that is undersized up front and you have dominated them as you did in the first half, why would you go away from that?
It does kind of make you wonder, and look, he's a phenomenal player. He's a superstar, franchise, all the things you want to say. But between, what was it, when they lost, was it last year or 2 years ago? And somebody brought up to him about, well, the season was a failure. Oh, was it? And his response was, well, it's not a failure. You can't say it's a failure because we didn't win a championship. I just wonder if he's a little bit too... he doesn't have that maybe killer instinct to the level that we have seen other NBA super. Like when you're a superstar in any sport, mm-hmm. Brady, Jordan, Kobe, they have like a psycho mentality about winning. It's win at all costs. And maybe he's just kind of a little bit too able to share the spotlight or too mm-hmm. kind of push it off on other people. That makes you wonder. Because they had that stretch when Doc Rivers took over, and then it seemed like they got things straightened out, and now, with what, a week to go before the playoffs, this is not the time to all... I do think what you see... When we came into the season, we thought it was the Celtics, the Bucks, and the Sixers
mm-hmm.
atop the Eastern Conference. And I remember having conversations. If the Knicks don't have to be part of that three, but they have to be part of the next three. I think what you see now is that it's the Celtics and it's everybody else.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Now, listen. Give Tom Thibodeau credit, because what he was able to do was he sent, when Giannis was dribbling, he sent a guard down to strip him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that might have made him a little gun-shy as well, because he was dribbling and he was trying to penetrate, you know, trying to back his way in, and he kept getting stripped and then let the fast breaks the other way. So give Tibbs some credit for doing that. But still, Gordon, run some plays for him where he doesn't have to dribble the ball. I mean, it's Giannis.
Yeah. Right. He is.
He
is a freak, right? He should be able to you put the ball in his hands and let him go to work. But I thought that was not a performance that I was expecting from the Knicks.
No.
Mm-mm. Not no. After watching that Bulls game and that second half. I mean, there's so many positives off of that game. Now, it doesn't feel like lately that there's any carryover.
Right.
Good or bad. So I don't want to say that, now they've gotten it straightened out and we can start the playoffs or whatnot. But between Hartenstein's performance, I mean, I don't think the most optimistic Knicks fan would have thought that they would be getting this out of Isaiah Hartenstein this year. I mean, he's a complete player. He's killing it on the defensive side. He's killing it on the boards. He had 18 points.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did not see that coming.
Did not.
DiVincenzo's second half was incredible. So
on fire.
Hopefully they can get. And you know what? I know I don't want to jinx it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that Bogdanovich's
best game.
Most impactful game. Right.
Yes,
I'm sure he probably
absolutely.
Scored more points in other games, but I thought that he had the biggest impact coming off the bench.
No question. No question about it. And you know what? Mitchell Robinson played well, too.
Yes, he did.
Played well defensively, had a couple mm-hmm. of big block shots now. And I think what you saw them do last night, Gordon, that's how you're going to have to use the two guys. That you bide your time, you split the time, but with 5 minutes to go, Hartenstein's got to be on the floor. okay, because his ability to hit free throws, he's more aggressive around the basket as far as scoring. Mm-hmm. Mitchell Robinson just can't hold the ball. But, you know, one thing I respect about Mitchell Robinson, Gordon, his ability to offensive rebound and block shots. He is great at that. He's great at that.
Yeah, and it does kind of feel like Hartenstein's over the kind of restrictions that they had him on for a while. So I don't know that they're completely removed, but it feels like he's back to a complete player for them and can give them what they need.
And it's good to see OG Anunoby playing and not holding his elbow.
That is good. Yeah, I mean, I still think offensively he's
going to take him a minute.
Yeah, it's going to take a little shake off some rust, but. Look, they scored 122 points, so they didn't need him to score too many points. But
no, they didn't.
Yeah, and then, of course, we're kind of forgetting about the main superstar.
We buried the lead, didn't we?
We did bury the lead. I mean, what more can we say about the guy, Larry?
He's incredible.
And, you know, it's funny because I've heard a lot of conversations about Lindor. Francisco Lindor with the Mets, and, you know, he's getting booed, and we got to be more positive. And
wife getting threats.
Right, that which is disgusting, absolutely disgusting.
It is.
But it's funny that usually when you're the superstar that comes here and you take the big money to come here and there's a big spotlight on you, there's an adjustment period. Even for Lindor, who's been here for 4 years, it doesn't feel like he's ever been as beloved as other members of the team.
Mm-hmm.
Brunson is the exact opposite of that. Yep. I mean, he's come here, he's performed brilliantly. He's never had, maybe he did last year, I just don't remember, maybe at the beginning. It feels like he came here and he became this great, greater version of himself, more consistent version of himself, and he just keeps getting better.
Yeah.
I mean, he just keeps getting better. I mean, 43 points. I don't think that when the Knicks got Brunson and we're like, oh, finally, we got a point guard. I don't think that we were expecting 43-point game, 40-point games, 35-point games, 60-point games. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. It has been such a great move. He has been such a godsend.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Doesn't feel like we've hit the ceiling.
No, it doesn't. Not with him. So, Gordon, you know, I'm kind of torn now because when I heard no Randall, obviously I'm thinking no Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
Like, I'm thinking that, you know. But, Gordon, consider, and that's why I say, that's why I led with Milwaukee has got, Doc Rivers has got some issues.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I see them go up against Milwaukee like that without Julius Randall. And, yes, it's almost like a perfect situation because they were able to find other people to score. And see, that's going to be the question that really determines how far they go.
Absolutely.
We know defensively they'll be fine. We know that. But it's who's going to be Julius Randle every game for the playoffs going forward. Okay, last night it was DiVincenzo, kind of, with help from Bogdanovich off the bench. Who is it going to be tomorrow night when they play, you know, when they play the Bulls again? You know, who is going to be that person every single night that has to take the mantle of, okay, I'm here to help take some of the pressure off Jalen Brunson. Is there anybody we know that can be consistent on this team to do that? That's the concern I have, and that's the thing that I worry about, whether how far they can go. That's the big question for me.
Yeah, especially in a series where you just see the same guys, you know, night in, night out. I worry that the burden that is going to be placed on Jalen Brunson, it's going to be whoever they go up against, if it's the Cavs, if it's Matt, whoever, and whatever round. It's clear that you have to take Brunson out of it as much as possible. And then I guess maybe it's the type of thing where it could be like a different person every night.
Mm-hmm.
Is that secondary person? But it's hard to imagine that the ceiling that we had of Eastern Conference Finals can still be reached even losing a player like Julius Randle, who I know he wasn't good in the playoffs. I know he's it's not even that he's just not good. He's just so inefficient come playoff time with turnovers and mistakes and forcing things. It's still hard for me to envision that the Knicks can make it to the Eastern Conference Finals now without him.
I agree. Unless they just go on a run or just
fall. Right.
Things fall the way they go.
This is why we watch sports, right? You want to be surprised.
Absolutely. Like, I want to be surprised if the Mets beat Atlanta tonight. But Atlanta's leading 5-4.
Stranger things have happened.
I mean,
come on. It's a one-run game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll see. We'll see what the Mets do, and we'll see what you have to say next on 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to the best of ESPN New York tonight.
If UConn's going to allow Edney to get that deep in the paint,
yeah,
they're going to have a hard time winning this game. They're going to have a hard time. And they're running the same play. He sets the pick top of the near the free throw line, and then he rolls in the paint so that he gets the position. So they have, there's got to be a way that they, you know, eliminate that. Either stop, challenge the pick and roll, or do something of that nature. But he can't continue to get that deep because he's unstoppable. The 7-4, he's shooting inside the circle where, you know, is the offensive foul stop. So, I mean, come on, you can hit that easy.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that before too long we're going to see some adjustments from Danny Hurley.
Yes, and now they took their center out, so that's really going to be interesting. you know, so that's going to be interesting.
Now, did you take in the
3776? Go, Gordon.
Did you take in the eclipse today? Did you get to see that? And
I saw it on TV.
So you didn't buy the glasses. You didn't go outside.
The glasses. I forgot. I was outside. I was outside doing.
I gotta
some
be
work.
Honest. I don't know what it was like by you. If you had not told me it was an eclipse, I would have just thought it was like a cloudy. It wasn't like I was expecting it to be a little bit more impactful. And we did get the glasses. My wife got the glasses, so I took the glasses. I looked at it for maybe 5 seconds, and then I went about my day.
Okay.
Like these people that like spent 20, 30 minutes staring at this thing, like you get it. That's it. Okay. And you got the same thing on TV. Okay. That's what it looks like. Kind of cool. And if you were in the right path where the whole sky went dark, that's kind of cool.
Yes. Yes.
I was driving at the time, and I'll be honest, I was at a red light. My son had the glasses on. I said, let me see the glasses real quick. I looked out the sunroof, and I took it in. That was the extent of the whole procedure.
Well, I had less than you.
But I see people, I'm driving, and the people are standing on the street just looking up at it for minutes on end.
Yeah, I had neighbors doing that, too. I had neighbors just sitting out there looking at
it. You got it. I got it. Let's move on. Let's go about our day. You know? Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's me.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's me too. Because I was.
I saw a newscaster was like near tears.
Really?
I'm not exactly sure why.
I'm not either.
All right.
I'm not sure about that.
We're on the same page with everything.
We are. We're almost like brothers.
Yes.
We're so alike in a lot of different ways.
Now maybe in 20 years when the next one comes, I might be in tears. Because I know I ain't going to see another one out. I might not make the next one.
I hope to see the next one.
That would be nice.
It would be nice.
And that one. Isn't that weird though? Like it was the last one was 7 years ago.
Yeah.
And then all right, so it's 7 years, and then the next one's 20. Shouldn't it be on like a regular cycle? I'm not sure how these things work.
You would think, but you know, we keep hearing that the Earth is picked up a minute, like the Earth's spinning faster. It's like, what is going on here?
It's very odd.
It's been an interesting couple of days. You know, earthquake action, eclipse.
I could use a couple of boring days.
It would be nice.
Yeah, just give me a routine couple. Just a couple.
It would be nice. No question. It definitely would be nice for us to take a break, you know. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. 1-800-919-3776. Spike is in St. Pete. What's up, Spike?
Well, I'm not going to be here in 20 years, so I got to get.
You don't know.
You don't know. You might be in like AI. We might have AI spiked in 20 years.
Let me tell you what I saw yesterday. In the 70s, I was very fortunate going to high school with three Hall of Fame basketball players when I was high school age. But I befriended the coach of Fort Hamilton High School. That'll ring a bell to you, Larry. Maybe you too, Gordon. And he coached both Bernard and Albert King. And I'm very, very friendly with him. And I'm going back to that to tell you what I saw yesterday. And Ken used to tell me all the time, Ken Carnes, I believe is his last name. I hope he's still alive. And he said to me, the biggest thing, well, Bernard was a totally different animal because he was just so dominant, both high school and Tennessee with Ernie Grunfeld. But he said to me, Halftime adjustments are the biggest thing a coach can do. Thibodeau's his best year coaching. There's no question in my mind with the Knicks. Best year coaching, and he probably would have won a title if Derrick Rose didn't get hurt. And, you know, we all didn't really want him. We wanted Mark Jackson, but he sped the pace of play up in the second half yesterday. And about OG, the shot will come back with the timing. OG must have four or five steals yesterday. If you look at the box score, very rarely will you see a game decided by under 20 or 30 points where all nine guys are plus or the plus minus. And you know, whoever, which one of you guys said it before, that's the rotation, I believe, that you're going to see in the playoffs, you know, barring injuries and stuff. And they're going to come off the bench in that order. Like you said yesterday, Larry, Alec Burks is the odd man out. It looks that way. And that could change. But what I saw yesterday, the 48 minutes that Hartenstein and Robinson played is perfect. It's just perfect because you get everything there and you have six fouls each. But and Brunson, we just can't. None of us could ever, even in our wildest dreams, have dreamed what we saw yet. And I don't think he's seen the best of him yet, honestly, because we know his performance in past playoffs with Dallas without Luka was brilliant, 40-point brilliant. So what I'm saying is he sped the pace of play up because they got rid of Barrett. They got rid of quickly, okay? And they're good kids. I like them both. But they were ISO players. And you know how I feel about Randall. I said it to you yesterday, Larry. I missed you on Saturday, Gordon. I don't think Randall being out or not will be pro or con in the Knicks getting past where I think they'll go this year, which I think is the second round, six or seven games. That's, I think, their ceiling. Now, after watching Milwaukee, who looks slow and old to me, and Doc Rivers ain't making that difference. He's probably under 500 as a coach. And it doesn't look – I'll tell you one thing. Boston made out on that trade because Damian Lillard is not as good as Drew Holiday. And I'm not afraid of anybody in the East but Boston. I really am not. The Knicks play at that speed. Now, Gordon made the point. Well, you did, like, who's going to pick up the scoring? It's going to be like reliever by committee. That's what it's going to be. But one day it'll be McBride. One day Bogdanovich. One day DiVincenzo. They could – you're going to see a game where Brunson's going to have 18 points and 15 assists. And he didn't even use a shoulder yesterday. He played 5 minutes. So they control the boards. They didn't turn the ball over. That's the formula for winning. You got to play faster because they ran Milwaukee right out of their gym.
Yeah, they did, Spike. Thanks for the phone call. And like I said, Gordon, that's what you – I was not expecting that from the team. I was expecting – a loss, actually. I was hoping for a close game. I was hoping for a competitive game because, and I get, and listen, I get that it was hard for the Knicks to win that game without Josh Hart, with him being thrown out of the game for a double flagrant. So, you know, I get it because he's what he does with the rebounding and everything else. So, yeah, they obviously missed him. But still, Gordon, I mean, and I get the schedule. I mean, was that third game in 4 days or something like that? I mean, I understand all those things. But nevertheless, I expected the Milwaukee team that had been struggling, you know.
That was their get right.
Yeah. We got a team that we can physically outmatch them. Mm-hmm. And it did help that Chris Middleton got hurt early. You know, Gordon, I think that helped because it made, you know, it's one less consistent score that you took away. You know, but then they had, other scores, so it was a great win to watch them play yesterday. It was great.
It's funny because the moves the Bucks have made, the big moves to kind of get back to where they were a couple of years ago, and it has not worked.
No.
The Dame Lillard move was supposed to be, oh, that's going to put them kind of over they're going to be the top team in the Eastern Conference. That's going to put them over the top. And then when they struggled and they make the coaching change, they bring in Doc Rivers. Now, I don't think you and I both were all that big of fans of the move at the time, but that has not really paid the dividends. In the Eastern Conference, it's the Celtics and it's everybody else. And even with the Celtics, I mean, we see it from time to time. Teams have great regular seasons, and then for whatever reason, a long postseason – a series going back and forth, these teams buckle down. It's hard to close these things out. So the Celtics, at least for the Knicks, that's a question for down the road.
Mm-hmm.
That the rest of the Eastern Conference is so bunched up, though, that you're looking with a week to go. What, the Knicks could be two?
Yeah.
They could be seven. They could be eight, right? Yeah. I mean, it's
true.
And the thing to me that's frustrating about the Chicago loss was I felt like the Spurs loss was the one, okay, that's the one, right, we got to come out. And that's the reminder, you got to play at a certain level every single night. So for them to come out and fall behind by, I don't remember what it was now, 2021 against the Bulls, it just felt like, what are we doing here?
Yep. It made you wonder.
Mm-hmm.
It made you really wonder what's going on with this team. And now they got the Bulls again tomorrow night.
I mean, who's making the schedule that, you know, like, oh, we'll have the Knicks play the Bulls three times in like a week and a half.
I don't get it. I don't understand.
It's almost like they were making the schedule and they're like, oh, wait a second. We haven't had them play the Bulls that enough. All right, we'll have to schedule them three times in a week and a half.
Ridiculous. It's ridiculous. When we return, we'll take some more phone calls and hear from Jalen Brunson and Tom Thibodeau. Mets and Braves tied at five as the Braves bet in the bottom of the seventh here on 98.7 ESPN. Tibbs on Jalen Brunson. And Gordon, when you watch him, his footwork in the paint is just incredible. For what he's able to do, it's just it's for size and toughness. He plays with an attitude, Gordon. He does. And you appreciate him. And as a Knick fan, it's like, oh, where have you been all my life?
Yeah, I mean, I think I saw a stat today. I want to give the person credit. It might have been Tommy Beer, who does a great job covering the Knicks. I think in the previous 15 years, the amount of 30-point games from a Knick – oh, wait, it was 40-point games from a Knicks point guard. The person who it was probably 30-point games. The person who led over the previous 15 years as a point guard was Emmanuel Mudiay.
Wow.
wasn't here that long. So that tells you how long, and that's just 15 years. I think you could probably go back even deeper than that.
Wow.
I mean, the Knicks, that has been one of those things that we've been talking about probably since even before the last eclipse. The Knicks have been looking for a point guard for a few eclipses now. So it's safe to say they got their guy, and he's the right guy. You could not envision a deal working out better than the deal the Knicks made to bring Jalen Brunson in here. It has transformed the organization.
It really has. It really has, Gordon. It's
and an organization that always gets it wrong.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
Previous to this regime, they make a move, and if it was for an up-and-coming guy, it would turn out to be, well, it was just a flash in the pan with the other team, or they overpaid for him, or they did something wrong in that move has been a home run, so much so that it went from when it was made, oh, they overpaid, to it's one of the best bargains in the NBA.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you know, you're always concerned with getting a player in a walk year.
Mm-hmm.
Because, oh, look what he did in the walk year. Well, obviously, you know,
sure.
Because he's trying to get a contract and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Gordon, I mean, if you're Mark Cuban, although I will say this, Kyrie Irving is reminding us why he's such a great player. He is on a roll right now. He and Luka are just dominating in Dallas right now. And when Kyrie Irving wants to play and he's got his mind focused on just playing basketball, as we all know, there's very few who are better than he is.
Never a question.
But if you're Mark Cuban, you got to be like, shouldn't we have signed him?
Well, you know that show Shark Tank.
Yes.
They made some good deals there with certain companies that people use and people know. But the biggest one they ever had on that show was something that they all passed on, and that was the Ring doorbell.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, they passed on the Ring doorbell, which was a huge miss. As bad a miss as the Ring doorbell was for the Sharks, letting Jalen Brunson get away has been that bad for Mark Cuban.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, that has been one that whew, I think they'd like to have that one back. And yes,
no question.
This is the stat from Tommy Beer.
Mm-hmm.
Total number of 30-point games by a Knicks starting point guard in the 15 years before Brunson signed. Emmanuel Mudiay had three of them.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And you won't. And superstar and Emmanuel Mudiay would not be in the same sentence.
No. The next one on the list was Chauncey Billups.
Okay.
Then before that, it was Derrick Rose. Before that, it was lower than that. Raymond Felton had one.
Yes.
Moutier had three. Billups had two. Rose had two. And then the guys with one, Felton, Jeremy Lin, Brandon Jennings, Trey Burke, Dennis Smith Jr., and Kemba Walker.
Kemba Walker had a 30-point game?
Apparently. I didn't. Who knew?
I missed it.
Yeah.
I missed it. That's wild.
Well, what? Let me ask you this, Larry. What has been the strangest thing that has happened this week? The earthquake, the eclipse, or the fact that the Mets have come back from 4-0 down in Atlanta and now have a 7-5 lead?
That might be it.
That might be it.
That might be it, Gordon.
Now, they got to hold on. It's still only the eighth inning. But
yes. But, you know, we got the trumpet guy.
Mm-hmm. Does the trumpet guy does he make house calls? Does he, like, go on the road with them?
Oh, yes. You know what? No, I don't think
I wouldn't think so, right?
They probably have a tape in the bullpen.
Maybe they have him just – maybe SNY can just show him, like, he's at Citi Field just in case.
Yeah. Yeah. They probably got a tape in the – you know.
Yeah.
Somebody's got it in. It's probably on his – it's probably
like,
his
like Warner Wolf back in the day. Let's go to the videotape.
Exactly. Well, it's probably like his – it's probably his ringtone. On his phone. Da-da-da-da. So they'll get him ready. DJ Stewart, huh? This guy, he was like a surprise last year.
Mm-hmm.
Having a chance to play because of all the injuries and how things were. And he's a solid bench guy. He's a solid bench guy. And that's a big run. That's a big couple of runs there. So,
absolutely. You get a win. All of a sudden, if the Mets win today, they'll be 4-6. That's not terrible.
It's not terrible considering how you started.
Right. I mean, considering you started, was it 0-5?
Yeah. Much better.
See, the season's not over, Mets fans.
Not yet.
You got to hang in there a little bit.
Gordon Damer, you're going to laugh at this.
Mm-hmm.
But Bill Barnwell said something on ESPN today.
Uh-huh.
About the New York Jets. That was interesting.
Okay.
And I want to hear what you think about it, and I want to hear what you guys think about it, either on X or on the phones. We'll do that next on 98.7 ESPN.